the City of Palm Coast City Council virtual hybrid meeting. Due to the current threat of COVID-19, the City Council will be meeting in person, but limiting the in-person attendance to anyone to any one room as outlined by the Centers for Disease Control. The meeting will also be held via virtual meeting pursuant to the governor's orders issued on March 20th, 2020. As mayor, pursuant to the authority granted to me by the city charter, I declared a public emergency on March 15th, 2020 in response to COVID-19. Furthermore, pursuant to the powers and the governor's executive order, I suspended all city requirements that require a physical quorum to be present to conduct this meeting and authorize that this meeting be conducted as a hybrid communications media technology under the city's state of emergency proclamation for virtual meetings executed on April 3rd, 2020, and the city's resolution for conducting city council meetings executed on September 3rd, 2020. Access to this meeting is also being provided via live stream on the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and is described below. This meeting will be audio recorded as usual. To listen to the meeting recording after the meeting, please visit the city's website. The audio will be posted in accordance with city's policy. In accordance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, persons needing a special accommodation for the proceeding should have contacted the city clerk by Monday, October 5th, 2020, by noon. Notice that this meeting was going to be held as a hybrid meeting by Communications Media Technology, and with limited in-person attendance was posted on the city's website at least 5 days ago, October 1st, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided via live stream on the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and by calling in at 386-223-1690. Should you need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Today is October 6, 2020. It is 6 p.m. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Present.
Councilmember Cuff? He's here. Councilmember Branquino?
And here.
Councilmember Nets?
Here.
Mayor Holland?
Thank you. We'll now open up to public participation. Anyone either present here, we'll be taking public comment from those present in the council chambers first and foremost. Then we will open it up to phone calls. Anyone here present wish to speak? You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. Okay, I will close public comment. I will ask if anyone is calling in for public comment, please call in at 386-223-1690. Doug, do we have anyone?
As a reminder, if you're on the call, please hit star 9 to raise your hand to indicate you'd like to speak.
Thank you very much. We will close public comment. I'll move to agenda item number 1, which is the approval of the minutes of the City Council.
Move to approve it.
Okay. If I can just read what's underneath it, that's okay. Special meeting budget hearing September 10th, 2020. Business meeting September 15th, 2020. Special meeting final budget hearing September 23rd, 2020.
I still move.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nets?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item number 2 is under proclamations. A proclamation, raise the pink flag with the pink on Parade 5K for October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Councilmember Netz will be presenting the proclamation. I'd ask everyone to come up to the podium to receive it.
Actually, this is particularly meaningful for me since my wife is a breast cancer survivor. Proclamation: whereas breast cancer is the most frequently diagnosed cancer in women, with an estimate of 276,000 new cases of invasive cancer are expected in women this year, and 2,620 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in men, ranking it second among all cancer deaths and accounting for nearly 1 in 8 cancers diagnosed in U.S. women. And whereas only 1 in 8 women diagnosed with breast cancer have a family history, and 85% have no family history, with an increase in incidence rates since 1990 being predominantly in women 50 years and older. And whereas early detection with timely screening mammograms has helped to boost the breast cancer survival rate to more than 2.6 million in the United States, also resulting in a 40% decline in mortalities since 1989, with women under 50 seeing an even larger decrease due to early screening and detection. And whereas Advent Health Palm Coast Pink on Parade 5K, with the support of the City of Palm Coast and our community, has distributed over $150,000, helped over 577 patients, and performed hundreds of procedures in direct support to Flagler County men and women dealing with breast cancer. And whereas the City of Palm Coast is joining Advent Health in the first ever virtual Pink on Parade 5K on October 11th, fundraising efforts stay local and include but are not limited to early detection screenings, wellness and lifestyle resources, and survivorship education programs to support those impacted by breast cancer. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed, the City of Palm Coast Mayor and City Council hereby proclaim October 2020 as Raise the Pink Flag with the Pink on Parade 5K in support of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and encourage all women to pursue early breast cancer screening and other possible diagnostic services to avoid becoming one of the nation's mortalities. Signed the 6th day of October 2020, Melissa Holland, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for your support. We've had over a decade of relationship with Advent Health and this breast cancer awareness cause. So we are very thankful for your support in our continuation of celebrating October and breast cancer awareness. We've got lots of activities, virtual, race at your own place. You'll be seeing some things on social media. And if anybody is looking for a partner to run on Sunday, come join me at the community center at 7:45 and we'll run down St. Joe Walkway. John?
Thank you, Lauren Johnson, for your continued support. And 7:45, for the dozen years we've done this, that's late. So that's a good thing about a virtual. We all sleep a little later that morning, but thank you all for allowing us again to raise the pink flag and to show City of Palm Coast the awareness of how important the awareness of breast cancer screening. And that's the one of the major goals, is just how important that is. This event every year kicks off at our Food Truck Tuesday, which we're a partner and we're out there and we're in pink in September, but that kind of kicks it off for us. This year is certainly different for all of us in a lot of different ways, but being a virtual we're on versus having 1,500 people out in front of the hospital, that we will do, but we'll look forward to that in 2021. But the week in our community is so good to us. We have so many businesses that are raising money for us for breast cancer. Actually, I called Nick out a little bit earlier today. He was in the I Fish Flagler fishing tournament, and I was at the weigh-in, and I didn't see him, so I said, "You got goose-egged," and he told me not. He caught a big red with all the spots, so he would have won. But certainly the City of Palm Coast and our relationship with the City of Palm Coast means so much about this race for years past, and as we continue, This year we're highlighting, because of virtual, everybody can race. There's so many parks, so many parking places that you can go from Waterfront Park to Grand Swamp to where you're starting with Lauren and the community center. I know we're on the radio early, which we're a little bit different. We have a live radio show from 7:30 to 8:30 on Sunday morning, which will get everybody hyped up. And the mayor, you have been our official starter for years, and we will have you virtually start our race on Sunday morning. So I guess we just say go. So we hadn't figured that one out yet, but the school systems will have a national anthem and the schools involved. So it's really going to be a nice event. And the crux is we raise money. It stays here in Flagler County, and we really are saving lives with the procedures and all the number of patients that we deal with over the years. So we thank you for this recognition, the opportunity to be here. Look forward to Sunday, and we invite the community to race in your place. Come support the Pink on Parade 5K. Thank you all very much.
And John, if I may, because I think it's important to note that Advent Health and the Foundation has raised a considerable amount of money over the years, and we know that prevention and early detection is key to the successful outcomes of those diagnosed with breast cancer. So we really want to thank you for your partnership. We want to thank you for your investment in this community. And we want to thank the community for continuing to save lives and help support this great cause. So I'd encourage everyone, you can go on a walk. You don't have to run, right? You can go on a walk, run. You can run. But to register, because, you know, again, this money goes towards an extraordinary cause, and it's impacted so many lives here locally. I've talked to many of the people that have been the recipients of this extraordinary effort, and it does have an impact. And so how can they register online?
Pink on Parade 5K.
Okay. All right.
Pink on Parade 5K.
So. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Do you want to do a photo or down here or no? Outside was good?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number 3, which Vice Mayor Klupas will be presenting. It's a proclamation on the Guardianship Awareness Month. I would ask to go down and receive the proclamation, please.
Feels good to be back. Whereas our community is home to vulnerable seniors and residents with disabilities, and whereas older citizens in our community and those with disabilities have needs requiring special attention and knowledge, and whereas guardians provide critical daily work and an important voice for our most vulnerable populations, and whereas guardians annually devote millions of hours to ensure the needs of their ward are met, and whereas hundreds of public and professional guardians and thousands of family guardians provide vital services to our citizens. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Mayor and the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, the month of October as Guardianship Awareness Month, signed this 6th day of October 2020, City of Palm Coast, Florida, Mayor Melissa Holland.
Thank you. Sure, this is kind of last minute, but I will say this. In my capacity as an attorney, I've acted as a guardian for not only friends but family members, and then also part of a guardian ad litem program. And the work that guardians do is essential to people who are in need and need their help. One of my best friends was in a horrific car accident. She was in a coma, lost her husband. And she needed a guardian because she was being taken advantage of. And being able to be in that role for her and act in that manner for her is invaluable. So I just want to thank the City of Palm Coast for recognizing guardians all over in whatever capacity they serve others. And this is a very, very worthy cause. Thank you.
And thank you so much for receiving this. And thank you for sharing your story. It is important and impactful. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number 4, which is which are the ordinances on second read. And I will turn it over to our city attorney.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Section 4-20, Wireless Telecommunications, of Chapter 4, Conditions for Limited Specific Uses and Activities, of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Regulations to revise the definition of co-location consistent with Florida statutes and correct a reference error, providing for severability, providing for codification, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Yes, so thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Updated background, this was heard by the City Council at a workshop on August 11th. And again, at a business meeting on August 18th, 2020, this has come back with no changes to the suggested items. And we have NASA here tonight, actually, to answer any questions you may have.
So, Council, do we have any questions or comments since this is second reading?
Question.
I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 4, please do so at this time. We will close public comment. I will take it back to this council and entertain a motion.
I'll move approval. Second it.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Brinkfino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nets?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
5-0.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 5, which is another second read of an ordinance.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Article 4, Communications Rights-of-Way of Chapter 42, Streets, Roads, Bridges, and Other Public Places of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast to amend and update regulations regarding communication facilities and public rights-of-way consistent with Chapter 337 Florida Statutes, providing for severability, providing for codification, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This was heard at the August 11th, 2020 workshop and heard again at the August 18th, 2020 business meeting. There have been no changes substantively to the suggested item. Upon final legal review, however, Section 42-105H of the Wireless Communications Within Right-of-Way Ordinance has been amended, as shown here in the track changes version, by strike-throughs and underlining. There were Scrivener's errors corrected, and legal citations have been updated prior to this business meeting. And Nisa Gorkit, City Attorney, is here again to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Council, any questions or comments on this agenda item?
No questions.
Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 5, please do so at this time. Okay. Thank you, Doug. We'll close public comment. Bring it back to this council. I'll entertain a motion.
Move approval.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Brinkfino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nets?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you so much. Okay, we will move to agenda item number 6, which again is a second read of an ordinance.
This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, to annex property to be included within the corporate area and city limits of the City of Palm Coast, providing for the annexation of approximately 3.840 acres of property described in Exhibit A to this ordinance and lying in the areas proximate to the existing city limits of the City of Palm Coast, Flagler County, Florida, providing for annexation in accordance with the voluntary annexation provisions of Section 171.044 Florida Statutes, providing for annexation of real property, amendment of corporate city limits, providing for rights and privileges resulting from annexation / effect of annexation upon land uses, providing for effect on ad valorem taxes, providing for effect on businesses and occupations, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This item was heard at your September 8th, 2020 workshop, and again on the September 15th, 2020 business meeting. The only change to this item has been after legal review, it was amended that the effective date shall be removed immediately, the term effective immediately, and changed to an effective date of November 1st, 2020. Jason DiLorenzo is here if you have any questions on this item.
Hi, just, and I can take this for Jason because I've been involved in this annexation. This is the Airport Commons property since the beginning and was involved in the pre-annexation agreement that we entered into with Flagler County and the property owner. The new effective date of this ordinance, and I don't, you may or may not remember this, we're annexing the property, but because it's constructed, and I'm sure you've seen it's almost done out there, part of the agreement was to allow for Flagler County to continue to permit the property, and the city would annex that property in. The annexation would become effective once the county permits were issued, so we didn't have a disruption in going from county permitting to city permitting. We recently got notice from the applicant, the developer, property owner in this case, that they now need till January 1st, 2021 to finish or complete their permitting process. And so this ordinance would be revised under Section 8 effective date, that the ordinance will become effective on January 1, 2021. So basically you'd approve it today, but the actual effect of the annexation wouldn't happen until that time.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Council, any questions or comments on this agenda item?
I have one. That'll definitely be enough time for them to get the process to completion to where we can execute the agreement. Is there any chance that we would have to come back for revision? Or
there's a chance that they may have some build-outs, internal suite build-outs. If they have people coming in that, you know, want to build out, there's a chance that they would come in under the county. But we would still make the annexation effective, and we talked about this a little bit. We're still in talks with the county about maybe entering into some type of memorandum of understanding that if any, you know, permits, say from this point, this approval, till January 1st, 2021, come into the county, they can complete those, and that, but anything after January 1st would come into the city. So we could do that through a separate memorandum of understanding, some type of, you know, amendment to the joint or local. We're trying to figure out legally how we're going to do it, but it shouldn't be something where we'd have to hopefully not come back, because I believe in the original pre-annexation agreement you gave the authority to the city manager to enter into any subsequent agreements to make this happen. So this is part of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And is the county okay with it? They gave you no problems whatsoever with altering the date?
The county?
Yes.
No, we didn't hear anything from the county. They don't have a problem with it. And I believe Jason can speak to, I believe he's been talking to the community development director there, so he may have something to add on that.
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, Jason, if there is an issue, just speak to that. If there's not an issue, don't need to. Okay?
Yep, there's no issue now.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuff, did you have a question?
No questions, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Any member of the public wish to speak on this agenda item by either being present or calling in at 386-223-1690. No closed public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nutz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
We'll move to resolutions. Agenda item number 7 is a resolution calling for a hearing to be conducted before the hearing officer regarding the bid protest RFP by PREA.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. I'm just actually going to ask City Attorney Lisa Borkia to discuss this item tonight.
Hello, it's me again. So this item is an optional resolution. The city's received a bid protest, as the mayor indicated, and your bid protest procedure in the code in Chapter 2 advises that the city council, upon subsequent appeals, so it goes to finance director, and then it went to the city manager, and then to the city council, to hear bid protest appeals. Chapter 2 also provides that the hearing officer can hear appeals of administrative actions, too. So this item is coming to you today not to hear the bid protest yet, but for you to make a determination as to whether or not you want to set this item for the city council to hear it at a future date, or to execute or to adopt this resolution, sending it to the hearing officer to make a recommendation to the city council, and then bringing it back to the city council after the hearing officer has heard it. As you'll see in the agenda item, I believe that the city has procured an extension with their current insurer till November 30th, so you would want anything to be completed prior to that point in time. This is something where, you know, the council should have all the information for this item, and you can really procedurally, you can choose whichever way you want to handle it. So if you decide that you want to hear it again, we can set the meeting, schedule it. If you decide you want to go to a hearing officer, then you would adopt the resolution that's attached, which lays out, it will go to the hearing officer, and this is how the hearing officer hearing will work, how it will proceed. So again, we're not looking at the merits of this bid protest today. We're just looking at how the merits will be heard in the future.
The procedural discussion.
Yes, it's a procedural matter.
So, Council, any questions in particular?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
If we opt to go with the hearing officer, that's not a final decision. It still goes back to City Council?
That's correct.
Okay.
It will come back with a recommendation from the hearing officer.
And if we were to choose to bring it before Council, there would not be a hearing officer present at point of presentation time, right? That would be more on the fly.
So if you brought it back to City Council, the City Council would hear the bid protest.
Okay.
The city's been, there's been some allegations of a conflict of interest, particularly with our firm. So we've advised that the city gets, you know, separate counsel in any case, whether it goes to the hearing officer or whether it comes back to the city council. So that will be, really, there won't be a hearing officer here, but there will be another attorney here for the city.
Understood. I feel more comfortable just because my area of expertise isn't in this regard, that a hearing officer would have more benefit than not, but I would like your comments.
So any questions or comments further?
I agree with Councilman Lucas.
Councilmember Cuff.
Yes, same comment. I think given the allegations of the bid protest, having an independent hearing officer do this first and then present recommendations would be advisable. My only question was the timing. Or do we have any concerns about getting this process done in time to make sure we, you know, have coverage? I think we're extended through November 30th. I assume we anticipate being able to wrap this up before then.
Yes, that is the goal, and the resolution lays out time frames consistent with that time period.
Okay. Only
no,
comment.
No,
yeah.
Further questions or comments at this time by council. I would open up to the public. If member of the public wish to make public comment, you have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Dennis Bayer. I'm here on behalf of PREA. With me in the audience tonight are three of the representatives from my client who have been involved with this appeal, Kyle Steckel, Paul Dawson, and Matthew Montgomery. The concern I have with the hearing officer is twofold. First, if you look at the time frames that are called for in the proposed resolution, the hearing doesn't happen for 45 days. The hearing officer then has 20 days to make a recommended order, then calendar is 5 days for the parties to file objections to the recommended order. It's going to be well beyond the November 30th extension date for your insurance. The other issue I have is if you look at the appeals process under 2.29 that we had to follow to get here before the council tonight, it's a very expedited process. We have to file our appeals within 3 days of each of the decisions that we reach, and we come to the council. So we're concerned about the hearing officers delaying this matter beyond the November 30th cutoff date, and then the city may be without coverage at that point. It's good to hear. I appreciate council stating that they would recommend separate counsel given the allegations of conflict of interest, serious allegations that we don't take lightly, and I think that's the appropriate course of action as far as that's concerned. But the final and the main concern, another concern we have with the hearing officer, is the hearing officer is allowed to filter what evidence you as the elected officials hear in this case. So if we go to the hearing officer process, they determine what's relevant, what's not, what they recommend to go forward, and we don't get to make a direct presentation to you of why we feel that this bid process was as flawed as we feel it was. So those are my three main concerns. The ordinance doesn't get this done before November 30th. We're concerned about any information that you receive being filtered, and we just think that the process is not what's called for under the expedited process that's in your bid appeal process. We'd also like to know if the hearing officer that's recommended, is this someone that has experience in bidding issues, insurance issues, or is this just somebody that's on general contract with the city council? So thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to comment tonight. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you so much. Next speaker. Are you calling in, Deb?
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. As far as the questions presented by Mr. Benner, I'd like to take those one by one, and then
sure.
We can discuss it as a council.
Sure. So the timeframes that Mr. Bayer indicated are correct, but those are maximum time frames. The goal would be to do this. You can't be uninsured. We have the extension till November 30th. So the goal is to move this as quickly as possible. And it's clear by the resolution those are maximum time frames. And the resolution is something that you can consider. You can decrease the amount of time in that if you'd like to. That's as it pertains to that. The hearing officer as a filter, if you look at under Section 8 of the resolution, it states the city council may address questions to staff, the applicant, or anyone else in its discretion. In addition, council may, on its own motion, allow staff and the applicant up to 10 minutes for oral presentation or argument. So this is after you get the hearing officer recommendation back. You have the opportunity to allow both sides, and if anyone feels as though there were items left out of the recommendation or not considered, those could be brought up at that point before City Council. And I believe the final question was asked to the hearing officer that's being proposed, Mr. Byron Cornwell, and his experience in these matters. I apologize, I'm not familiar with Mr. Cornwell's experience in this matter. I don't know if Mr. Morton or the city clerk is more knows of what his experience, and I'm not clear on that. I apologize, but he is the hearing officer. He is required. He is under your code, a hearing officer as defined by code, and authorized to hear any types of appeals, which could be in a local government, and bid protest is one of those.
So a couple questions then. Moving up the appropriate time frame, you had mentioned that. So would that give adequate amount of time and notice? So I'm assuming this would be a public hearing, correct?
Yes, it's going to work like a quasi-judicial hearing.
So it would be notices, everything else. If we were to move this timeline up, it would meet all the legal requirements for public meetings, notifications, those sorts of things.
Yes, public notice is different as to what you're doing. In this case, in a bid protest, it's not the same as a land development code change or something like that where you need longer time frames for notice. This is the notice that would be, since it would go to City Council, it would be the same notice that would be provided for at a City Council meeting.
And it's a public hearing, and the public hearing officer would hear the testimony from the 10 minutes given to those protesting it. How do they get the evidence?
So the 10-minute limitation is just in Section 6 when it comes back to the City Council. If you look in Section 2, it says notice of this hearing will be provided to PREA and FMIT. So FMIT is the other bidder, the non-protesting bidder. So both of those parties will be there and will be able to go in front of the hearing officer. I don't know, believe that there's a time limit set for, I don't believe there's a time limit set for the case to be presented in front of the hearing officer. Each interested party would get to, you know, and obviously the two bidders would get to present their case.
Okay, and as far as, I think we probably needed to get an answer in the background of the hearing officer in particular, since the question was raised on the credentials of the hearing officer, relevant to their experience in the matter that they're going to be hearing, not just local government, but insurance and those sorts of things. So do we have an answer on that?
They are, in accordance with our code, it's an attorney that's in good standing. The firm is out of Jacksonville, Florida, and Tampa. They have a lot of experience. I'm not sure what their experience is with insurance, so I will check with them to make sure if they have someone in the firm that has any type of insurance experience, because the contract is with the firm, not necessarily one specific attorney.
Is the only firm we ever have under contract?
At this point, yes.
Okay. And we've used them how many times?
We've had them for a little over a year and a half as our hearing officer for animal control hearings and any of our code enforcement hearings that would have to go before a hearing officer. Traffic infractions, I believe, is one of them.
Okay.
With COVID, we've been not having any of our code board hearings, so we haven't really seen them in person in a while.
So as far as hearing the appeal itself and then the recommendation comes back to us from the hearing officer, that would be a whole public document and testimony. Is that recorded audio or is that recorded on video? Is it something that can be played back and watch the testimony or hear the testimony so we can get a good background of what's being presented?
Yes, it'll be recorded. I'm not sure whether it'll be audio or video recorded, but it will be recorded.
We can do either at council's pleasure. We can record or just audio.
Well, council, let's take one item by one item. As far as the time limit, is there any council member that would like to either move the time limit up, or is the time limit acceptable to all council?
I'm concerned with Mr. Mayor's intimation that this can't be done within the November 30th. I'd like to ask Mr. Mayor if he is comfortable with us contracting the time frames. I don't want to contract them to the extent that somebody can't prepare themselves. On the other hand, I don't want this thing to drag on forever.
I don't have a problem with some reasonable contractions. There will be some limited discovery that we need to undertake before we get to the hearing. Public records request, interview a couple witnesses, but it shouldn't be, we should be ready for a hearing within 3 weeks.
Thank you.
I don't know, but, you know, again, if the city's got to retain outside counsel that's completely not accustomed or not acquainted with these issues, that may be one factor you want to take into consideration as well.
So we'll take the first issue presented. So, council, what is the pleasure of this council?
Can I ask if the timeline is fully extended to where the entire duration is depleted by whomever, where would that put us as far as expiration of our November 30th insurance coverage? So basically, if all the time was used, how long would this process take?
I think it's 70 days.
Okay, so it's not that far outside of the November 30th.
Oh, 60 days. I think there was a... Yeah.
But that would put us at December 5th. So November 30th isn't too far off of December 5th. Is there a process once this process unravels itself, however it falls out, that it would take time to apply whatever we find as a council to the appropriate bidder, whether it's the winner or whomever is protesting the bid? Is there a duration on that side of December 5th that would cause us to have to extend our insurance again? Like once we settle this and the council at our will decides one way or the other, how long does it take to implement the new insurance to execute the original bid?
Okay, so the question is, let me answer one part of it, and I think we'll have to go to staff for the other answer to that. So if you look at Section 8 in the bottom, this is where council would be reviewing a recommendation that comes back from the hearing officer. The council has the option to basically adopt the recommended order, with changes, or direct staff to prepare a revised order. So basically that would change the determination of the hearing officer. If you direct staff, so you decide not to go with the hearing officer's recommendation, whatever that is, if you direct staff to prepare a revised order, then the potential there is that staff would get a revised order back within 25 calendar days. So that would push you out further in that event, as far as, again, if all the time frames are maxed out and if staff takes 25 days to get a revised order back to you, upon your direction, you would direct them as to what you wanted that revised order to look like. Then from this resolution, how this resolution would act, and again, as I said, you can limit those time frames or not. You can do whatever the council's pleasure is here. That would be on the back end of that December 5th date. As far as implementation, I think I'm going to have to ask staff as far as how long it takes for them to actually get the insurances in place is what I'm thinking that you're asking me.
I am, yes, correct.
So Matt, who could answer that?
I think Renina or Helena could answer the transition time.
I have some information, please.
Well, I just don't...
My advice here, the decision is made that the insurance will be transferred.
Thank you. That answered all of your questions?
Yep, I have one more comment, but it's on the question.
Okay. All right, so as far as, again, Council, let's take this first item that was raised. Do we feel it's an appropriate time frame that has been identified?
You're talking about the time frame that's in the resolution as it. I'd like to see it contracted.
Okay. How does the council feel? Is there a consensus?
I would like to see the final date be November 30th.
November 3rd? Or
enough before November 30th that we can be sure we're going to have insurance when this is over.
You said November 30th, 3-0? Thank you.
So is that fine? Councilmember Nets?
That's the original date. Then.
And if before... Is that what you're saying, up to, and then if before, Councilmember Cuff?
Well, yeah, on or before. I mean, if the calculation I heard was correct, if the maximum times that are already in here apply, the end date would be December 5th. So I would think we could trim a few days out of this to be sure we have a resolution by November 30th.
Okay, so...
I do. I just would love to validate for the record that if we contracted the initial process, I had heard from Mr. Baer that 28 days was sufficient. I do want to make sure that's accurate so we don't miss a process, and 28 days was not enough time in his estimation once we start this, start the countdown. If that does affect the end timeline, maybe subsequent modifications to this resolution.
Mr. Baer?
Cooperation from the entities we're requesting documents from, we can be ready 3 weeks from today for the hearing. It's not a
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, so let's take the actual hearing officer. We've already have a consensus that we want to go with the hearing officer, so I've already heard that. Now we're talking about a timeline, the particular hearing officer. So it's a firm, correct, Virginia? And you don't know sort of the complexity of the firm and the different members and what their backgrounds would be?
I do not at this time.
We could make that inquiry tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, so let's do that. And let's make sure that it's a background that's associated with what's being presented to them. And what if it's not?
If it's not?
Yeah.
Well, then we find a different firm.
But I suppose, if I understood correctly, to receive that designation is a qualification, and I'm sure that there's all sorts of standards and licenses involved in becoming a hearing officer. Is that right?
Well, hearing officer, basically what your code says, and I'll read it to you, is that a person whom the city council authorizes to conduct appeals or other administrative hearings. Hearing officers must be members of the Florida Bar, in good standing, and have adequate experience or knowledge in the area of the matters over which they will preside, and make recommendations, determinations, decisions, finding of facts, and they shall be selected to the RF. The hearing officers shall be selected through the RFP, consistent with purchasing policies. So the hearing officer that's being put forth to you today has been through that. The city has hired them to be their hearing officer to handle, as Virginia mentioned, a number of different items, animal control, code enforcement. So that's basically the standard in your code.
I just think we want to make sure it's consistent with what's been raised as far as insurance experience.
Okay.
That's important. Okay, so Virginia,
yes.
If they do not have insurance, like specific, if they can't get that to you, then no.
It sounds like we have to come back because that's going to augment the timeline, I think, significantly, because if we have to go through purchasing for a qualified bidder, this is the hearing examiner firm we have that meets the current code requirements, so that could alter the timeline significantly. We're going to probably have to come back to another council meeting, I'm guessing, for authorization.
Right.
The way I understood the code. If you designate a hearing examiner, so it could be another 2 weeks out from initial start.
If we need to call a special business meeting to discuss that at Tuesday's after Tuesday's workshop, I can do that as well to work with you and to have that meeting called.
Okay.
They do have on their webpage insurance and insurers litigation defense for many sectors in insurance. So they do have knowledge of insurance carriers and
it may be prudent also to have a contingency plan if we need to try to extend our insurance past the November 30th date. If these things fall unfavorably, then we, as city council or city attorney and the manager have said, if we have to push that date further, we may inevitably have to go past the November 30th. So if there's a contingency in place by staff that we have at least a green light that we will be able to extend our insurance past November 30th, that would make me feel more comfortable as well.
Well, I think, you know, Mr. Bayer, you raised two questions. So I would ask you to prioritize those. Are you more adamant about having experience in the insurance from the administrative hearing officer? Or are you more adamant about making sure this timeline?
Well, I think the timeline issue for the city is you want to make sure you have coverage, obviously.
Yes.
So I think that's a critical issue.
Yes.
But I do think, given kind of the, you know, the complexities of, we're not dealing with a speeding ticket or a dangerous dog. It's a little bit different set of circumstances than a lot of. I'm sure they may have qualified counsel. We also need to check to make sure that they're not doing any legal coverage work for FMIT, you know, the bidder that was approved in this case as well. So that's another issue that we would need to check. Make sure that firm doesn't have a similar conflict of interest. But in Madam Mayor, you know me well enough.
Yes.
I'm not going to stall this thing or blindside the city. We'll do whatever it takes to get a full and fair adjudicatory hearing between the parties. That's our goal.
Okay.
So if we can do it within that time frame, we'll do it. If we need to extend, if we all need to extend your coverage, that would be fine as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Council, I think we've reached a consensus. on the issues that have been raised tonight. I think staff, Matt, do you have any outstanding questions?
I do not.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We will open up to the public. We already opened up to the public. So we will bring it back to this council, and I would ask for a motion to adopt the resolution with...
As amended.
...conditions that have been identified and discussed.
I'll offer that motion.
And it is roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Brancino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nutz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
And I would just ask that you stay in communication and update Mr. Bayer through this process. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 8, which is a resolution approving piggybacking the City of Pembroke Pines contract with PFM Asset Management for Investment Management Services.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. The City is currently contracted with PFM Asset Management for our investment services under our approved piggyback agreement with the City of Hallandale Beach. This contract has expired. We were recently informed that the City of Hallandale Beach is not going to rebid their services until 2021. We are in need of contracting. The City of Pembroke Pines has sought competitive proposals from the same services and awarded a contract to PFM. The investment management agreement has an initial term of 5 years, concluding on May 31st, 2024, with the option to have 2 5-year additional renewals with an ultimate contract expiration on May 31st, 2034, if all the renewals are exercised. This contract seems advantageous to the City. First of all, finance and myself are recommending continuation of services with PFM for investment services and information and services they provided. And it appears that the Pembroke Pines agreement rate structure is an improvement over our current contract and could provide discounts which potentially could lower our annual fees by up to 20%. And we do have Helena Owls, finance director, here tonight to answer any additional questions that council may have.
Council, any questions or comments on this item?
20% is 20%.
Piggyback is piggyback.
Seeing none. Okay. We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on this agenda item, please do so by calling in at 386-223-1690. Thank you so much. We'll close public comments. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Second.
And seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Brancino?
Yay.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nutz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 9, which is a resolution approving piggybacking the Manatee County School District contract with Playmore for the purchase of park and playground equipment.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Rather than read this myself, since Mr. Hurst is here tonight in his suit ready to present to council, I would ask that he come up and discuss this item. Thank you.
Well, I think I'm the first one to present tonight. So, good evening, Mayor and City Council. This piggyback contract is for Playmore. Playmore is a national equipment playground equipment supplier. We pretty much use Playmore in all our parks and playgrounds throughout the city. And with your approval for this contract, we're looking for Parks and Rec to help us repair and replace old, aging playground equipment.
Right. Council, any questions or comments? Appreciate you wearing the suit.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Very
no,
nice.
No worries.
Yes.
It's hot.
It's usually in shorts and a t-shirt. This is momentous.
We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda. Close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Make the motion.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Aye.
Councilmember Brancino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nutz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 10, which is a resolution approving piggyback contract Town of Jupiter and American Water Chemicals, Inc., for anti-scalant AWCA102+.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. If Peter Russell could discuss and introduce this item, it is a not to exceed. We're expected to expend $27,332 annually under this piggyback.
I would say if there's any questions or comments the Council has.
Yes.
It's a pretty straightforward agenda item. Any Council questions or comments? We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 10, please do so at this time. Thank you so much, Doug. We'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval. Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Kupis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brancino.
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff.
Yes.
Mayor Nets. Sorry, Councilmember Nets.
Yes.
And Mayor Holland.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move to agenda number 11, a resolution approving a master price agreement with Carmoose Lime and Stone for the purchase of high calcium bulk quick lime.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This is an as-needed contract for high calcium quick lime in bulk. Funds are appropriated in our operating budget for the utility enterprise. Annual spending in fiscal year 21 is estimated to be in the order of magnitude of $776,000. And Peter Russell is here for any questions you may have.
Council, any questions or comments on this agenda item? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 11, please do so at this time. So much. We'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Kupis.
Yes.
Councilmember Brancino.
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff.
Yes.
Councilmember Nets.
Yes.
Mayor Holland.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay, we'll open up to the second portion of public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment? You have up to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record. See anyone in council chambers, so I will go and ask for anyone that wishes to call in at 386-223-1690. Please do so at this time. Close public participation, and we'll move to agenda item number about discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Since I'm joined by my colleagues again this evening, I'm going to ask first and foremost our Vice Mayor, Nick Lufis.
I have no comment tonight, but it is nice to be back, and thank you for tonight's meeting.
Thank you. Councilmember Brancino.
It's nice to be back, and I just want to refer back to the proclamation we had here today. Raise the pink flag with a pink parade, 5K. This is very important. These people have been saving lives as much as they don't even think so sometimes. They think they're doing a good job. I think they're doing an extraordinary job. And like my son used to say, it's a beautiful day to save a life. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Brancino. Councilmember Nets.
Nothing.
Councilmember Cuff.
I just want to know why you're letting Councilmember Nets sit in my spot. Sorry, I couldn't be with you tonight. I'll
keeping
see you next time.
Keeping your seat warm, Bob. good to see you on the Zoom as always. And I have nothing for this meeting. Discussion by City Attorney of Matters not on the agenda.
I have nothing.
Discussion by City Manager of Matters not on the agenda.
Thank you. I have two items tonight. First, Doug, I had sent you a photo if you could pull up for my second item I wanted to share with Council. But first, I was asked by our Parks and Rec Director, Lauren Johnson, and Brittany. They're going to give updates on the fall 2020 events through Parks and Recreation.
Good evening again, Mayor and Council. While I know that this fall looks a lot different than previous years, we did want to keep you up to date on what's going on that we're planning for our community. I have Brittany McDermott here, our Community Recreation Manager. Some of the things that I wanted to highlight was we heard from this council that the Veterans Day ceremony is a priority, and that event will be returned. returning again this year in person. We're looking to celebrate our veterans on actual Veterans Day, which is Wednesday, November 11th, here in Central Park with an All-American picnic as in previous. So we'll continue to work with the county to do a ceremony that's going to be held at Flagler Auditorium, and then the veterans and members of the community can come here to the park afterwards. Another new event taking a spin on is our Holiday Light Fight, which we're hoping our residents get encouraged to be the next Clark Griswold,
yes.
Or Cindy Lou Who, Martha Mayhew, Battle of the Light competition, and allow our residents to go around in their community and see who has the best light display.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Like Lauren said, we're doing things a little differently, so this flyer we put together is just a few of the things that we were able to highlight this fall. So we do have more, and we have a link at the bottom that shares some more information. And one that I really wanted to highlight was the Founders Day with Palm Coast Historical Society. That's coming up actually this month on October 24th at the Community Center. And they are celebrating their 50th anniversary, so it's a big one. They're very excited. They have some really great speakers lined up, so I'm really excited about that one. We're hosting a virtual youth fishing tournament this month and next month as well. We've got our NCCAA Youth Sports Clinic, that one's a mouthful, coming up on the 17th at Holland Park. Normally we would have done that at Indian Trail Sports Complex, but we did switch that over to Holland Park, and then golf will, of course, be our golf course. So that's just kind of touching upon a few of the events. We're really excited that we are able to move forward with at least some programs and just doing them in a different way, just always evaluating each one as we come.
Were there any questions for us about any fall programs or events, just anything that you guys wanted to see? We're excited to have some things come back, and all of our events and programs, they do have safety plans, and we do have measures in place, so each of them were very well thought out to keep everyone safe.
But the Starlight Parade, Christmas Starlight Parade, are we doing anything? Or
this year, just after talking to our chief, Jerry Forte, we don't think that it's a great idea to have the event this year. This event holds 10 to 15,000 people, and that's too large of a gathering at this point in time in our community. We are working with the Flagler County Rotary to do their Fantasy of Lights, so that will remain in the park, but as far as the parade, it's not our intentions to host this year.
Especially because a lot of kids there. So.
Yes, sir.
Great job, as always. We appreciate you keeping our residents safe, but offering options for them to come out and enjoy our community. Always extraordinarily impressed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So very briefly, my second item, Carl.
Fun.
Yeah, Carl Cody and his team in EM&E do a phenomenal job, as you know, keeping our infrastructure up to date, evaluating infrastructure, bridges, roads. Unfortunately, we had a weather-related event on Seminole Woods Boulevard, and the reason I'm bringing it up tonight because I know it's extraordinarily disruptive to our residents. So first, we wanted to apologize as staff. Again, we didn't anticipate an emergency problem, and what had happened, just so we can be really clear with folks, we've got a lot of questions asking, why is the road closed? As you can see here from this picture, the extraordinary rainfall caused a scour event that caused this pipe to literally unravel with the pressure delta, essentially. And it was taking the roadway with it. That was the problem. So initially, we put a steel plate on the roadway, hoping that we could avoid a disruptive closure that would impact our residents and our school buses and deliveries and everything. And unfortunately, within a very short period of time, the road sunk significantly again, even under the steel plate. So out of an abundance of caution, we do not want anyone getting hurt or damaging their vehicle. We had to close the road. The good story is that, believe it or not, as bad as this looks with these new spray cast and cast-in-place technologies, I think we have a relatively quick solution. And it is our goal, and we believe we will have the road open for Monday morning, the 19th, for the commute. So just about another week away, if you will bear with us. We are working on this and putting our energy to alleviate this disruption. So just want to let our residents know and our council know we are on it, taking it very seriously and trying to get this fixed so we can get things back to normal. So we deployed a bunch of communication strategies, including our targeted messaging. We did Facebook. We did emails through registered accounts in the area. And then, of course, the ubiquitous sign closures. I think that issue was resolved relatively quickly. I think the questions we're getting now is, how long is it going to be? Again, we did no notice of this project. No one had any indication. And so folks would just like to have the road put back.
You said the notifications, though. Did you geofenced it to the area using utility billing, or how did you?
That is my understanding, yes. We used our utility records for the area, similar to what we did with the most recent swale renovation project, to let accounts know that are in contact with us through Farmco's Connect, of course, sign up. We have to know and have that contact information of this road closure.
And did you continually communicate that with the residents? Or is that why they're asking when it's going to be done, or was it one notification?
Just found out today what the estimated repair time is. So Carl sent this to me probably an hour ago. And so we're verifying. We are watching the rain. We are hopefully going to avoid the worst of hurricane. I think it's Gamma. This one is Gamma or is it Delta? But we are in the cone. So we're preparing a communication as soon as we found out tonight that we expect to have it open for the commute by Monday morning.
One more question, and then Vice Mayor Klukas. How much rain have we sustained in this community?
I do not know the inch total off the top of my head.
Okay. I think it's important to know that, because you look at rain events historically in our community. I remember when Texas sustained an enormous amount of rain in a short amount of time. It took out a lot of their infrastructure very quickly. And I know when we had, I don't know if it was Irma, Michael, I don't know. It wasn't Dorian. I think it was Irma. And Old Kings Road, you know, with a similar instance with the pipe, you know, when we have a very high rain event in a short amount of time, water is heavy when it comes down to that point. And I think just also recognizing the fact that this is an unusual rain event. I've lived in Palm Coast for 37 years. We have, some events like this, but not many to the extent we've had it. I remember rains every afternoon for half an hour. I think just more information we can provide to our residents, the better it is, and then just really trying to work as much as possible with them.
Yes.
So thank you for the update. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Vice Mayor Klukas.
And some of the questions that I had been receiving regarding Seminole Woods right now, if we could just reassure residents that once this problem is solved, that we'll go back, and the detour routes are getting heavily trafficked right now, and some of the corners on the streets are getting bermed out because people are driving, they round the corners basically, and with the amount of rain that we have, it's kind of having some devastating impacts on the detour route. We plan to go back and see where we detoured everyone to make sure that we're not leaving anything worse off than when we got there, right?
We will look into that, and I've not been made aware of that concern yet, so I will familiarize myself with that tomorrow, understand what is occurring and what we have or will plan to
And you know what, there's a way to also do not only that email alert or mass notification. I know text messaging is relatively inexpensive when we have issues like this. It's very coordinated, and just a simple, we apologize, right? We've had a high rain event. It's impacted our infrastructure. Please go to our Facebook page, our website with up-to-date information. That might just be another way that we're looking at communicating with them.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay.
Council, any other questions or comments? Is that all?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you.